heard one, open your ears, because you're getting ready to hear one. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. I did not know that those people would put their article in the paper to honor my message this week, but I'm glad they were able to coordinate our efforts together. And trust that the Lord will bless this message today. R. A. Torrey, who was a great preacher of years gone by, said, "I've been to many meetings and have had a full house every night at those meetings." And he said, "Usually I would announce the message that I was going to preach on the other night." He said, "I can announce any subject as salvation, heaven, the need for Christian workers, soul winning, prayer, the importance of reading the Bible, and the full house would be there again the next night." But he said, "Every time when I would mention that tomorrow night I'd be preaching on the subject of hell," he said, "it seemed like half of the people who had came the night before would not come back again." The reason is, hell is not a popular subject to preach on. Hell is not something that many people enjoy about hearing. To tell you the truth, it's not something that I thoroughly enjoy preaching about. I've got a lot of other messages that I'd like to preach and I'd rather preach. I'd soon preach on salvation, some fellow getting saved, heaven, and the things that are good all of my life. I mean, if I had the opportunity, I'd preach on the second coming every Sunday morning and then heaven on Sunday night. Now, I would make for a sweet preacher, amen? I mean, a dandy little preacher, a fine young man. But to preach on the subject of hell doesn't make for popular preaching today. But I trust God that will impress upon your heart the importance and the truthfulness of the message that God has laid on my heart. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, and now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. That's the biggest lie ever told. Yeah, Jesus Christ has came to them from the dead, and they still do not repent. The Bible said, and he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, they will not pay heed to the word of God, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Shall we bow our heads for prayer as we begin this message today? Now, Father, we're thankful for the wonderful salvation that we have in thee. I'm thankful that I can say that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior today. I'm thankful that with full assurance, based entirely upon the merit, the righteousness, and the blood of Jesus Christ, I can know that I'm saved and that heaven is my home. But Lord, I realize there's many people that do not have that assurance. There's many people that have never been saved or born again. There's many people who need Jesus Christ. I pray that this message today would speak to the heart of any lost person that might hear it, whether it would be by means of radio, whether it would be by anybody that's in this congregation, or anybody that in days to come might listen to this tape. May the Word of God and the truthfulness of this message reach their heart. God, I pray for the Holy Spirit of God to to rebuke every demon and foul spirit that would hinder this message today. I know the devil doesn't want this truth to be proclaimed. I know the devil opposes maybe this message as much as any message that could be preached. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would take complete control of everything that is said and done today. I pray, beg, and plead for the power of the Spirit of God to take this message and impress it on the heart of every person that is here. May, Lord, our eyes be open. May our minds be quickened once again to the awful place, the home of those that are lost, the eternal damnation of those without Jesus Christ. Lord, may lost sinners be saved. May Christians be stirred to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray it and ask it in your name and for your sake alone. Amen. Dr. H. E. Dixon, who was a great preacher of years gone by, said if we had more people preaching about hell from the pulpit, we'd have less people practicing hell in the community in which we live. Dr. Lester Roloff said that if we would get back to the day when the preachers are given the shock treatment, you wouldn't have to go to a psychiatrist to get a shock treatment. We need more preaching on hell today than we ever did before. Hell is a thing that you'll hear very few preachers ever attempt to preach a message on or say anything about. I dare to say you could listen to the radio in vain for a long time to hear a message preached on hell. Now, I cannot understand why this is so. I cannot understand why preachers do not preach and tell about hell as much as they used to tell about hell. Revivals came as a result of the truth of the Word of God being preached. Many people do not like truth, and it's not popular. And the popular truths today in America that are told are the truths that people like to hear, and they're not all the truth that God would want people to hear. Today, the truth of hell is something that many people need to know, and many people need to hear about, and hell is just as important to be preached on as it was 100 years ago in America. Why preachers have stopped to preach it is beyond me. Why preachers have ceased to tell about it is beyond me. Why Christian people get so upset when you talk about it is beyond me. Why Christian people get upset. Most of the upsetting that is done in America when somebody preaches about hell, you'll have a few sinners get upset, but the Christian people get upset. I mean, those that profess salvation and profess to be saved say, well, they shouldn't talk about stuff like that. I mean, religion is a fine thing, but you ought to know when to speak about it, know when to tell about it, and you ought to keep it in the right category and in the right place. Tell you, hell is as hot as it ever was. Hell is as long and as sure for those that are lost as it ever have been. And hell is just as much a truth in the Word of God as it ever was. Today I'd like to tell you a few things about the place of hell and some things that are found in Luke chapter 16. The first thing about the place of hell we need to realize is that hell is a literal place. Hell is a literal place. We live in a world today when people and the devil want to do away with hell being a literal place. If the devil can trick you and to deceive you into thinking that hell is not a literal place, chances are you will never trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If the devil can get you to think that hell is just a state of mind in which you suffer, my, how it makes me sick. My, how it makes me mad. My, how it upsets me to read of some preacher and say, well, the flames in hell are not real flames. They're merely a state of mind, a figuration that God speaks, and they're not real. Beloved, when Jesus Christ spoke of hell, and he spoke more of hell than he did of heaven, when John and Peter and Paul preached of hell and the damnation, they did not preach of it as a state of mind, but they preached of it as a real place where people go. That was not a state of mind in the Bible. It is not a state of mind. It is a real place. I have news for you today. Hell is not the grave. I'm sorry to upset your apple cart and distribute them all over the street. I'm sorry to come and distort the theology and confuse the ideas that you've learned. Hell is not the grave. Hell is a literal place, but the grave is not hell. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus Christ says, you got a hand that offends you, cut it off, for it's better you enter life maimed than to enter into hell fire. Listen, why would it benefit you to go to the grave without a hand or a foot?
Why would it benefit you to go to the grave without an eye? What Jesus Christ is saying in that passage, whatever is keeping you from getting saved and trusting God, get rid of it and cast it off, for you would be better without it and to enter into life maimed in some way than to go into hell fire. Mark chapter 9, Jesus Christ preached the message and talked about the fire, where the worm dieth, and the fire is not quenched. Over and over again he repeats it, not as a grave, not as a hole in the ground. If it were the grave, why did he not distinguish here? Why did he not tell us if hell was the grave? Why didn't he say, don't worry about it, it's just a grave? Beloved, hell is a literal place, not a state of mind. It's not a grave. It's not something that's in your imagination. It's not a place where people go up and they're annihilated and burnt up right away and their destruction is finished. It's not a place that is just made up in the Bible. Hell is a literal place. If I could get everybody in this building to fully realize that and grasp it, none of us would walk out of this building the same person that we came in. If every one of us could see that hell is as real as the pew you're sitting in, hell is as real as the automobile you came here in, hell is as real as this building, hell is as real as this message, hell is as real as the clothes you're in, hell is as real as the world that's around us, hell is a literal place. Now listen to me, if you don't have a preacher that'll tell you that, get rid of him, change churches, and find you one that will. If you don't have a preacher that loves you enough, I'm preaching this message out of love. You say it doesn't sound like love, that's because you've got some kind of distorted ideas of what love is. Listen, a fellow over in Jacksonville, a fellow's house was on fire and the whole family was inside. He went up and knocked on the door. Nobody answered. You know what he did? He knocked louder. Nobody answered again. The house was burned, the whole family inside. You know what he did? He took a rock and threw it through the picture window. Nobody woke up. He went and got something, finally knocked the door down, and went in there and rescued those people. Why? Because he was in earnest about what he did. Because he loved those people inside of that building. Well, you say, it's crazy. He broke their picture window out. He knocked their door down. He woke them up in the middle of the night. He woke them up out of a dead sleep. Why? Because they needed to be awoken to the danger that was there. Beloved, I'm telling you about hell being a real place because I want you to wake up to the danger that is in front of you without Jesus Christ. Listen, the world tries to make a joke out of it. Whenever somebody tries to make a joke out of it, you can bet they're getting ready to move in. Amen? I like what he said, whenever a preacher air conditions hell, he's getting ready to move in himself, amen? Whenever a preacher makes hell a little bit cooler and a little bit shorter and a little bit easier than what the Bible says, you can bet that preacher's ready to go. Let me tell you, hell is no joke. Oh, we have a good time there shoveling coal with all of our friends. Where'd you ever hear of that? Where'd you ever read that in the Bible? Where'd you ever see in the Bible there's even coal there? They say you got to have coal to have fire. Your education is pretty well limited, isn't it? Amen. I mean, you got to have that. No, you don't. Oh, we'll have a good friend. All of our people will be there. We'll have a good time. No, you won't. Listen, hell is a literal and a real place. A young fellow got saved one time, and after he got saved, he got some tracts and went out on the street and began to witness people about Jesus Christ. A fellow picked up a tract and said, without Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. And he asked this young Christian who hadn't been saved very long, he said, young man, without Christ, I'm going to go to hell. Is that right? The young man said, that's right. If you're not saved, you're going to hell. He said, can you tell me where hell is? Well, I mean, the boy hadn't been saved too long. He didn't know nothing about the Bible and where hell really was or where the location of the place might be. And he prayed. He said, Lord, help me. You know what he said? He said, fella, hell is at the end of a Christ-rejecting life. And he said, if you want to find out where it is, just keep on going without Jesus Christ, and you'll find out. Beloved, hell is a literal place. Jesus Christ descended to the lower parts of this earth, descended to hell, went down there, went and preached to the people who were held captive down there. Hell is a real place. Let it sink in your mind. Let it sink in your heart. Let it sink in your soul that as sure and as real as this building is this morning, hell is a real place. In 1741, Jonathan Edwards went to a community in, I believe it was Connecticut, and preached a message. He preached a message called Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And when he preached that message, Jonathan Edwards used no mannerisms. He had no characteristics or no ways that he preached or anything. He stood at the pulpit and read the message that he had to say. When Jonathan Edwards stood there and stood straight, erect, calm, and almost in a monotone voice, read the whole message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. When he went to that community, the people said, there's no use to go to that town. There's no use to talk to those people about salvation because they're so wicked and they're so ungodly, they'll never listen to the word that you've got. And Jonathan Edwards said, I've come not to look at the men and see the condition of the community. God has called me to preach the word of God, and that will I do. He stood that morning and preached one of the greatest messages that's ever been preached, recorded in English literature. It's one of the greatest sermons that's ever been recorded or preached anywhere. And when he preached that message, people began to scream out, oh my God, I don't want to go to hell. Began to grab the back of the pew, feeling they were dropping off into hell. Grab the pillars that were in the church building and said, God, I'm slipping, I'm going, don't let me go. And that day, hundreds of people came to Jesus Christ. The town was turned upside down. Many people were saved, and Christian people began to be busy for Jesus Christ. Why? Because they realized hell was a real place. It's not a figment of the imagination. It's not something preachers have made to scare you. It's not anything but a real place. Without Jesus Christ, that's where you're going. People say, well, why do you get so upset when you preach on hell? You talked about their home that way, they'd get upset too. Amen? I mean, somebody told you everything about your home, how terrible it was, you'd get mad. Hell is a real place, and not only that, hell is a place of torments. A place of torments. Now, let me say, as I begin this point, I cannot tell you how bad hell will be. If I were to stand here for 3 hours, and use every adjective and every descriptive word that I could think of. It wouldn't take me 3 hours to do that. But if I could stand here for 3 hours and tell you how awful hell is, I would only be beginning to tell you what a terrible place it is. It's a place of torment. The Bible says there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Boy, I'll tell you something. There's something that really is sadistic. It's really something that gets to your heart. You think of a place where you go where people are weeping, wailing, and gnashing their teeth all the time. You say you don't really believe it. I believe every word of it. Brother, people go there, they're crying all the time. All the time. It's not just weeping, it's wailing. Gnashing their teeth in hell. You talk about torment. You talk about hurting. The Bible said there's no rest day nor night. Never a moment to lay down. Never a rest from your labors. Never a time to ever be comforted once you're in hell. The Bible says that you will burn forever. Burn forever. You say, preacher, how can that be? God has given you a soul that's going to live forever. And that soul will either be in eternity with God in heaven, or it'll be in eternity with God, separated from God in hell. People say, well, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell. There's no such way to believe. Burn forever and forever and ever. Did you ever burn yourself? Did you ever get burned? You know, a burn is one pain that hurts, one wound that probably hurts as much as anything. You don't have to burn a very big spot to hurt. I mean, you just burn a little spot. That thing will be sore and aggravate you for 2 or 3 weeks. I used to work at a pizza pantry, a pizza house. My uncle owned it. And oven there is 500-600 degrees for cooking the pizzas, and very hot. One time I reached in there to get a submarine out. We had it on tinfoil, and the tinfoil reflected the heat, so you could reach in the oven, grab the tinfoil. As long as you got the tinfoil, you could pull the submarine out and just put it over there. Well, I got it out and put it out on the door and opened it up to put some more stuff on it. And when I did, I went just like that. I laid my hands right down on the oven, both of them. I mean, I just burnt
Did you ever do that? I mean, just like taking a cigarette lighter and sticking your finger. You get 600 degrees, that's pretty warm.
Not to get thinking, just,
I could feel it, man. And I knew, man, you know. I talked to myself for quite a while that day. And I went and got some onion put on there and kind of helped ease the pain, take the sting out. But I couldn't walk around with onion on my finger all the time. You know, that thing, just little, just burning the very tips of my finger for 2 weeks. Man, that thing just tormented me. Every time you go put your hands in water, just my minute just hurt. I mean, the pain would stop, and then it'd start again. And then things start to peel and get all messed. You couldn't do this and that. You couldn't do anything. And I thought of how terrible it would be to be burning all over your body. Burning. You talk about torment. You talk about pain. The Bible says that the companions, the wickedness, the ungodliness, all of the dirt of this world is going to be in hell. You're going to be there. All the pimps, the prostitutes, all the idolaters, all the people committing fornication, dope pushers, people who take dope, sex perverts, homosexuals, queers, sadists, everyone is going to be there. You say, we'll have a good time with our friends. Is that what you call friends? Is that what you call good companions? Is that what you call people that you'll enjoy spending eternity with? I doubt it very much. You know what? You'll be separated from God forever. No more preaching. No more invitations. No more chances. A fellow was given a tract one day, and he said, boy, oh boy. He said, I got up to, my aunt gave me a tract. He said, to give me a tract at church. He said, can I go anywhere where they don't give me tracts? And the Christian said, just as soon as you get in hell, there'll never be another gospel tract there. Never be one there. You'll be separated from your family. Some of you better wake up now and listen to what I'm saying. Amen. Some of you that are lost this morning without Jesus Christ, you don't know for sure you're saved. Your brother, your sister, your mother, daddy saved. You better take a long look at them because it may be the last one you ever see. You say, I don't like to hear that kind of stuff. I didn't care. I didn't ask you whether you liked it. I'm going to tell you the truth. You're going to be separated from some of your loved ones forever. You love your mother? Love your daddy? Love your brother? Love your sister? Love your grandmother? Love your cousin? But if they're saved and you're not saved, you're going to be separated forever. One of the worst torments to me in hell would be the fact of your conscience and your memory. You know what he says? Look what he says there when he speaks to him and talking about the things that he did in verse 25. And Abraham said, son, and look at the next word, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth good things. You know what's going to be one of the most horrible torments of hell? You're going to remember everything that went on in this life. Now see, I don't want you to die. Never point the finger at Jim McGahee and say, I didn't tell you about hell, because I'm going to tell you. You're going to remember every gospel message you ever heard. You're going to remember every Christian that ever witnessed to you. You're going to remember every time somebody prayed for you and tried to talk to you about the Lord. You're going to remember all the good things in this life. You're going to remember a mother, a daddy getting on their knees and praying and begging with you to get saved. You're going to remember a preacher that stood and preached the word of God and give an invitation. You're going to remember every verse of that invitation. You're going to remember the Spirit of God pleading with your heart. You're going to remember the preacher pleading, the people and the Christians saying, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. And in hell you're going to say, why didn't I come? Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I trust Jesus Christ? The torment of hell, one of the most horrible, will be knowing what you missed. God's going to let you know what you missed. God's going to let you know what you didn't get to see. God's going to let you know what heaven's going to be like. And for eternity, time in and time out, every day, your memory and your conscience will say, oh God, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I make sure? Why didn't I come? Why didn't I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior? Hell is a place of torments. Not only that, hell is a place of eternity. Hell is forever. Over one prison that was a maximum security prison, they had the words penned and wrote. It says, abandon hope, all ye that enter in. When you go into hell, you're going to go forever.
no such thing as purgatory. It's not in the Bible. It's not hinted at in the Bible. It's not indicated in the Bible. And there's nowhere in the Bible you could find it if you hunted all the rest of your life. Nobody dies and goes and waits for a second chance. Nobody dies and goes to play some called limbo. Little children going to limbo to wait to see if they did this and that. And no! Nobody going to get baptized for you after you're dead and you may make it to heaven. Nobody going to stand in your stead. God isn't going to call you up and say, well, you've been a pretty good fella and you've been in hell long enough. I'm going to give you another chance. Never, 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 never will you escape the flames of hell. It's eternity. Forever. Forever. And ever. Never to get out. Hell is a place of eternity. A little boy got burned one time. He had severe burns over 3/4 of his body. And with his severe burns on so much of his body, they just made a bed. And in the bed was just like laying him in salve. Because he was burned so much, he couldn't touch any clothes. He couldn't touch any sheet. He couldn't touch anything. The only thing he could lay in was like a bed of salve, a protective thing, an agent to touch his body and so that his skin wouldn't be pulled away. And he laid there day in, day out, morning in, morning out, afternoon, evening. When he laid there the first night, his mother sat beside his bed. He said, Mother, what time is it? What time is it? She said, Son, it's just about 7:00 now. Try to rest and try to go to sleep. When in 5 minutes. She said, suppose that you could keep your children from suffering. She said, suppose that as a father, you could keep your children from suffering. And you didn't do it. What kind of a person would you be? He said, well, I'd be a monster. He said, I'd be crazy. He said, I'd be the worst father there ever was. And she said, that's right. He said, you think about God and what you said, and that's what you were talking about. He said, lady, you made one mistake. Amen. Because you said, as a father, what would I do for my children? He said, I want you to know none of God's children are going to hell. Amen. He said, the only people that are going to hell are of their father, the devil. He said, you made a mistake. See, people say, well, God's love, he wouldn't send none of his children to hell. You're right. You mighty right. But the problem is that if you're not his child by the new birth, you're a child of the devil. And you're going. Hell is a place of justice. In closing, I say this. Hell is a place of choice. A place of choice. Do you know who goes to hell? The people who choose to go to hell. So I don't believe anybody would choose that. If you reject Jesus Christ, you choose hell. Only the people going to heaven are the people that choose to go to heaven. And only the people that are going to die and go to hell are the people that choose to go to hell. Now listen. I want you to listen and pay attention, because what I'm going to say is important. You can choose your destiny. Amen. Think about it. You can choose where you spend eternity. Not your church. Your church does not choose for you. Amen. Ain't no church going to pick nothing out for me. I like to pick my own stuff out. Amen. Amen. And no church going to choose for me. I'll do the choosing and I'll go see if they're on the same side I'm on. Amen. Amen. Ain't nobody going to pick it out for me. You're going to choose. Your mother's not going to choose for you. Your daddy's not going to choose for you. Your husband is not going to pick for you. Your wife isn't. You are going to choose where you spend eternity. And I'll tell you how you're going to do it. If you choose to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and receive him, then you choose to go to heaven. And if you reject him and say no, you choose to go to hell. You say, well, I don't want to go to hell. Trust Jesus Christ. You say, I'm just scared to death about hell. I'm afraid of it. That's what I'm trying to do, is put the fear of God and the fear of hell inside of you. Brother, if I could scare you into getting saved, I'd do it. Said, I don't believe in that kind of preaching. The Bible said, Noah moved with fear. Amen. But trouble some of you this morning. You don't believe hell is real. And brother, if you could feel the flames tickling your feet, if you could see the pit, if you could talk to this rich man today, you would know that hell is a real place. You would know that hell is just what the Bible says it to be. Don't debate, argue. You would know what hell is. Listen, if today you would realize hell's a real place, then you got a decision to make. You got to decide whether you want to go there or whether you don't want to go there. And what decides is what you do with Jesus Christ. Well, I was up in Kentucky. I heard the tape and a message that I'll never forget. My fellow was a Christian lawyer, Gibbs. He was up there at the Ohio's pastor's conference. He preached a message and told something that I'd never heard told before. He said, one night in a church, a young boy came forward, and he told the preacher, he said, I want to get saved. He said, man, I'm just afraid I'm going to die and go to hell. And he said, I don't want to go to hell. I want to get saved. That's a good motive for salvation. Not wanting to go to hell is a good reason to get saved. Now, some people say, well, you shouldn't get saved just to get a fire escape from hell. Well, there's more to it than that. That's true. But if you want to stay out of hell, there ain't but one way to stay out. And the preacher prayed with him, talked to him. He said, preacher, I'd like to tell you something. And he said, I would like if you would tell it to other people when I get done. The young boy that got saved said he worked in an emergency room in a hospital. He was an orderly helper there that helped people when they came in. And he said, one night they brought a boy in who one of his friends told me the story of what happened to the boy. And he said the boy worked at a chemical plant where they made different chemicals, experimented with things. And he said they got a chemical that they made that when it contacted water, it exploded and caught on fire. Now you say, what would be the use of that chemical? The guy says that the use for that chemical was for test tubes in laboratories, that to purify that test tube, take a very, very small amount of this stuff and put it in there with water and shake it, and it would explode to a small extent and burn and purify the inside of that test tube and clean it out and purge it with fire in a way that nothing else could. The chemical was used for cleansing, used for several different things, but when it contacted water, it would explode, ignite, and burn. And he said the fellow that worked there stole some from the chemical plant, put it in his house, and he said one night they were having a party, big dope party, and he said things got kind of dull. And he said when they got kind of dull, he went and got this chemical, and he called his friends in the bathroom. He said he wiped his hands off to make sure there was no water, perspiration, or anything on his hands at all. And he took a little bit of it, just a couple of grains, and flipped it at the sink. He said when it did, fire just jumped out. As soon as it contacted the water, it just exploded in flame. Oh, everybody thought it was funny. Everybody thought it was cute. He wiped his hands off, took a little bit more. Flames jumped up and the fire came. Everybody's laughing, thought it was real funny. He started to move over, and when he did, he fell, and all the chemicals fell in the commode, and he fell over top of the commode. The people said the room exploded with flames and fire where he was at, and said from his waist up, he was severely burnt. They said third-degree wounds, or third-degree burns, wouldn't even tell what it was. He was just charcoal, black, burnt. Said they brought him to the hospital, and this orderly said, I was in there, and I said, my God, what happened to that fellow? And they told what happened. They brought him in the hospital, and they didn't know what was wrong with him. So the first thing you do to a burn wound is wash it down. And a girl went in and got some things that had water on it and touched it to his arm, and every time, a flame would shoot up off his arm. Every time she'd touch it, and finally the doctor came in and realized what was wrong, said, let him alone. And about that time, because he was so much afraid, and because he had become conscious, is unconscious for a while, he began to perspire and sweat. Every time sweat would come to the top, a blue flame, 6 to 12 inches high, would jump up off his arms. He said, I'm in hell. I'm in hell. Get me out. Get me out. Get me out. The orderly said, I was scared to death. He said, I was afraid to even go near the fellow, and worked on him. He said, a doctor came in and began to look at him, and said we had to hold him down for 3 hours. And said the doctor seen that the only way to get rid of that was to cut the dead skin and the burnt skin off his body. And said, that guy turned at me and looked at me and he said, fella, I don't know who you are. But he said, I'll give you everything I got, everything I own, everything that I ever will have. If you just get me out, I'm in hell, man, I'm in hell. Get me out, get me out, get me out. He said, for 3 hours, screaming at the top of his lungs, pass out. And wake up and said, I'm in hell, fella. Get me out, get me out. He said, it took 4 of the orderlies to hold him to the table as he would pass out and come back and wake up. He said, when they got done, he said, we went in the room to worship. And he said, the doctor that was there was a Christian doctor. And he said, he turned to me and looked and said, son, if you don't get saved, that's just a little sampling of what hell is really going to be like. And he said, preacher, I realized it was time for me to get saved. And he said, as I looked at that boy and thought, if he could be that bad, just to burn physically, what would it be to be burning for all eternity? And he said, I don't want to go to hell. He said, I don't want to die and go there. I want to be saved. Hell is a place of choice. You have an opportunity this morning. You're going to choose. I'm not going to choose for you. If I could, you wouldn't have to worry because you'd go to heaven. I'd choose for you to get saved right now. I choose for you. You say, well, I don't know for sure whether I'm saved. Don't mess around with it. Don't play around with it for 1 second. Don't mess with your soul for 1 second. If you can't look back in your life and see a time when you were saved and know it, come and let us take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you've never been saved, don't play around with it. Beloved, this rich man, he'd been there for 2,000 years. I said, I'm tormented in these flames. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. Can't you give me a drop of water? And said, we can't. He said, well, will you do something else? Send somebody back to my brothers that they won't come to this place of torment. Now I'm here to tell you, don't go. I'm here to warn you, don't go. I'm here as God's messenger and watchman to tell you, don't go to hell. Stop on the road of life and trust Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I'd prayed much about what the Lord wanted me to preach. I do every time that the Lord has me to preach. I want to pray and I want to have what He wants me to preach. And the Lord has laid this message today in my heart. Maybe it's for some of you here this morning that are not saved. And I want to say that I preach this message today because I love you. Listen to me. Don't you believe one second a preacher or a Christian that'll tell you they love you if they don't tell you about hell. Because if they don't tell you about hell, they don't love you and they're not concerned about your soul. Listen, love for you today. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. If you're listening to my voice, I don't want you to die and go to hell. You say, you don't even know me. I still don't want you to go to hell. I want you to trust Jesus Christ. Hell's a real place. I wish I could make it real. I wish I could take every one of us and open the pits of hell and spend 24 hours in hell. If we'd spend 24 hours in hell, we'd come out and never be the same again. You that are here without Jesus Christ, I didn't make this message up. It's not something I imagine. It's real. It's real. It's real. If you're without Jesus Christ, don't mess around. There's nothing to play with, and there's nothing to toy with. Come and trust Jesus Christ today. We that are Christian people, we need to wake up every now and then ourselves. We get at ease in Zion because we're saved, the wife's saved. We just kind of sit back and relax. People dying going to hell. They're dying every day and going to hell. Screaming, hollering, weeping, wailing, gnashing their teeth. The only way out of hell is through the message that God has given us, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be stirred once again to tell other people about it. Let us not be ashamed. Oh man, every time I kind of want to back off from witnessing,
I look at that individual and I say, now, Lord, what if they died and went to hell and burned? Without you, they're going to burn forever. How can I be ashamed of what I've got to tell them? It's the best message you ever heard. Sometimes I get around my loved ones and I say, well, I've just told them so much. I preach to them so much. I want to be easy on them. I better not tell them, but I've got to tell them. I've got to tell them. I've got to tell them. Beloved, we got to tell them. Hell, it's real. It's hot. And it's for eternity. Don't go. Father, bless the words of this message today. May the Holy Spirit of God put His divine stamp of approval on the message that's been preached today. Lord, may those that have heard it react to it. May those that need to be saved, Lord, may they be saved today. Lord, for somebody in this building that's not saved, can't look back and see a time when they were saved. Lord, maybe they've been trusting a feeling or an emotion. Maybe they've been trusting the church, or maybe they've been trusting the fact they're baptized or trying to live right. Lord, help them to see all of that is in vain. All of it's empty, foolish. May they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I pray it in your name and for your sake alone. Amen. Let's stand together. Number 248. Sing just a few verses of the invitation song today. The invitation is very simple. If you're here today and you've never been saved, why don't you get saved? If you're here today and you're not sure you're going to heaven, why don't you come and trust Jesus Christ? Why don't you come and accept Him and trust Him today? If you don't know for sure, today you need to make sure. And for us that are saved, for us that are Christian people, let's wake up to the fact that hell is a real place. It's time to quit playing church. It's time to quit playing Christian. It's time to get serious and sober about the work God's called us to do. We got the message, folks. We know how to escape hell. Let's tell somebody else about it. As we sing, if you need Jesus Christ, come and trust Him. As we sing 248, first verse. Head was just the organist play softly. If she would, please. You say, preacher, I believe you're trying to scare me. You better believe it. I'm trying to scare you so bad you'll run to Jesus Christ. I'm trying to scare you so bad you'll do everything in your power to avoid dying and going to hell. I'm trying to tell you that hell's a real place. Without Jesus, you're going there. Why don't you pay heed? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask you a question. I want you to answer honestly before God, because it does you no good to lie. But if you're here today and you're saved, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, hold your hand up as a word of testimony to that. If you're saved and you know it. Now, if you're not, don't raise your hand up. If you don't know, please don't. Thank you. You may put your hand down. I've not done that to embarrass anybody. I've not done that to make you feel little or nobody. I've done that so we can pray for you. If you're here and you couldn't raise your hand saying that you're saved, you're not sure, there's some doubt, or you're not saved, but you'd like for us to pray for you, how about holding your hand up and putting it down? And by lifting that hand up, you say, preacher, pray for me.
Thank you. I see that hand. Is there another one? Thank you. I see that hand. Someone else say, preacher, pray. I'm not sure. I don't know that I've been saved. Or I'm not saved. Pray for me. Somebody else, before we pray, just lift your hand up, put it down. I'm not going to come to you. We're not going to send no deacons over to you. Just want to pray for you, and that's all. Oh, don't play with your soul. Don't toy with it. Don't take heed too lightly. Father, with these hands that have been raised, we do pray. The need and the condition of their heart, we don't know. We know we love them. We know we're concerned about them. We know we want them to know what we know, Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. And I pray for them today, Lord, the assurance of salvation. Or Lord, if they've never been saved, that today they'd be saved. Don't let them leave without thee. Don't let them go out the door without having trusted thee. And may they settle it for time and eternity right now. In your name I pray. Amen. Sing together. On the third verse, God has spoken to your heart. Come, as we sing. Amen. Right now, won't you come? Right now, come on. Come to him now, won't you? Sing the last one. The young man come forward, and I asked him why he's coming. He said he wanted to be saved. Amen. Some of you others that need to do the same thing. Can you come down here and take my hand and say, preacher, I'm just not sure. I don't know, man. Now listen, it's nothing to play with. Amen. Be unsure about other things, but not where your soul's going. Amen. Play around something else, but don't play around with your soul. Don't mess. It's nothing to play with. Praise the Lord for this boy that came. Praise the Lord for God still able to get a hold of somebody's heart. You need to do the same. Sing together. First verse, this invitation, one more time, and give you a chance to come.
While we pray and while we pray.
Right now, come on. Just the organ piano, play through one more verse if there was. While they play, will you come? Nobody looking around. Will you come? Right now. You need to come, and you know you need to. Come on. Play through one more time. God is dealing with your heart, and you know it. You say yes. Father, we feel today that there's more people that should have come. And Lord, maybe you know the hearts of others. Some could not raise a hand, some raised for prayer. We want to know for sure that they were saved. Deal with the heart even now. Don't let them leave this morning without trusting thee, but may they come get me by the hand and say, "Preacher, I want to get saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to burn. I want to get saved." Lord, make it as real as you possibly can. Make hell as real to my heart, to the heart of every person here, as literal and real as you possibly can. Stir our hearts as Christian people to want to do more to keep people from going to hell. Maybe be a stop sign on the road to life. A stop sign, a warning, flashing light. We keep people out of hell. Use the message and the word of God and honor it to the hearts of the people that are here. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord for this boy, for the Murgas' brother, right? Praise the Lord for him coming, saying he wants to get saved. Stepped out on his own. The Lord had to come. You pray for him while they deal with him now. We are going to be having a baptismal service here in just a minute. Any of you that are unable to stay, you have to leave. Don't worry about it. We understand that you'd like to stay. You feel free to. Now, is there any young men that are going to be baptized or any men that want to follow the Lord in baptism? Okay. All right. How about ladies? Is there any ladies that are going to be baptized?